Our Heavenly Father, we come before your holy presence. We thank you, Lord, that just as the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4 was always, Lord, in the Lord's house on the Lord's day or on the Sabbath, Father, help us to follow his example as a disciple of Christ to be a faithful, Lord, to your house. We thank you for the people that have come. We know that some want to come, but they are sick. Mr. Jamie and St. Elizabeth and Brother Tim and some of these people who are recovering or now undergoing, Father, some illnesses. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will touch their life. Lord, you are the healer, and I pray that your healing will be upon them. For those who are tired, I pray you strengthen their bodies. Help them to know that the body of this flesh, Father, will one day be taken away. But Lord, you give us a glorified body. We thank you for that. But in the meantime, help us, Father, to trust your prayer. Starson as well, as she wants to be in your house, but she's not feeling well. I pray that you strengthen her too. Father, for the many that will come today, I pray for those who are healthy. We praise you, Lord, for our health. For those who are having some illnesses, we thank you also, Lord, that we can be here in your house. For those who can't come, I pray, God, that you would touch them and encourage their hearts and be with them, Lord. We know you will be. I just ask that they will be aware of your presence as they seek you. Father, we pray also for the Sunday school, the children. I pray for your protection upon everyone. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will give power to the teachers, and they might teach the children with love and compassion, but also, Lord, more than anything, with the power of the Holy Spirit, that the children may understand not just stories, but the God behind the stories. And for us, as we learn from thy word today, give me wisdom as I teach it as clearly as possible from your word. And Lord, govern our hearts with a heart of obedience, a heart of willingness, Lord. We want to thank you for what you're going to do. Bless this day. And Father, may at the end of the day, Lord, we will say it was good for me in God's house. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I hope everyone have taken the notes. And okay, we'll be dealing in the next 3 weeks over the doctrine of last things. Okay, just a very simple thing. Doctrine of last things. We'll be touching on three main things over this 3 weeks. Today is the 10th, 17th, and 24th. The doctrine of last things talks about the end times. What's going to happen in the end times? Okay, from a Bible perspective, we're going to look at the resurrection of the dead. Okay, the resurrection of the dead today. Then we're going to look at the judgments. All right, and then the final reward of the wicked and Christians. Okay, this is teaching primarily, but then at the end of it, there will be some personal reflection as to how we will apply this in our lives. Okay, so if you have your notes, okay, it's clearly stated there. We want to talk about the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. Okay, the resurrection of people who die. Okay, people who die, whether they are Christians or non-Christians, we'll be covering it today. Okay, so to begin with, just without even going into anything, whether from Christian or non-Christian, what do generally people think? What are some of the theories out there about people who die? What will happen to them? Decide what will happen to people who die. What happens generally? What Christians think, what non-Christians think. When people die, what happens? You know, in the Catholic faith, they say people will go to purgatory. And what do they do in purgatory? Move house. Okay, so the purgatory, they believe that souls that die, they go there to pay for their sins. And how do they pay for their sins? They have to give, they pay money to the church to say prayers, etc. Apparently, this prayers for the dead is a doctrine that is taught in the Apocrypha. Okay, in the Apocrypha, the seven books that is not accepted as the canon of scripture. Okay, so it's taught in there, prayers for the dead. All right, the Mormon church also believe the people who haven't been baptized will not go to heaven. And so what happened is when they die, their relatives, okay, those people who are still alive can go to the Mormon church. They get baptized for whoever. So they are very detailed about the who went, who died. And so, oh, this person is not baptized, so you better baptize. And so one Mormon can baptize 100 times. You got 100 relatives. You baptize for the relatives so that they can go to heaven, okay? What are other theories? When people die in Chinese culture, some people believe that they will be reincarnated. Okay, in other words, they will be changed into different form. Okay, when my wife and I and our family was in Bangkok a few years ago, and we're just feeding, we bought 10 baht, the bread, right? And we were just throwing the fish. So we thought it was fun for the children. And then the guide was telling us, it's actually a whole story behind that, because you don't know, you may be feeding your uncle, who's passed away, don't know how many years ago. Yeah, I thought, okay, now I understand why they would buy to feed the fish. That's charity to them. In Buddhist teaching, that's charity. When you buy food and feed the fish, because they believe in reincarnation. That was an eye-opener for me to hear that from a Thai who is a Buddhist, that when they give that, it's actually feeding the... It's actually charity. Feeding the fish is charity. Okay? So I don't know about people who eat the fish. Some people do buy the fish and eat, right? So some people believe that you just disappear. The Jehovah's Witness believe that God is a God of love. He's never going to send people to hell. So so when people die, they are not Jehovah's Witnesses. They just disappear. That's what they believe, okay? But what does the Bible have to say? So we need to be in the Word, alright? Let's turn to Job chapter 19. We want to firstly deal with the doctrine of the resurrection was clearly taught, is clearly taught in the Old Testament, okay, in the Old and New Testament. But we'll look at the Old Testament first. Let's look at Job chapter 19, verse 25. And what I'll do is, because there are quite a number of verses, I'll just get people to read. Okay, we'll look at Job first. Let me just turn there. Job chapter 19. And verse 25, okay? I hope you will make notes, okay? As you learn this, make it a systematic, what we call systematic understanding of the resurrection, so that if you need to explain to people, you know the verses. Job 19, verse 25 to 27. Let's read together, okay? Ready? 1, 2, go. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Okay, in verse 25, what is Job talking about? For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Who is the Redeemer? Who is the Redeemer? Who is the Redeemer? The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? Sorry? Talking about judgment. What else? He's talking about the second coming. Okay, he's talking about the second coming. Job, when did Job live? Anyone? He lived after all the kings, right? Job was at the same time, surprise, surprise, at living same time as Abraham. Job and Abraham lived during the same time. Although he is put further down, right? But Job is actually living during the same time. Our Bible is categorized not totally chronologically, okay? There's the first Bible of Moses. Then after that, it's, FBI students, what's the five compartments of the Bible? It's books of Moses, then History of Israel, then after that, poetry, then after that, the major and minor prophets. That's how they classify. So in terms of timings, they may actually jump here and there, all right? But they are classified in books. In the New Testament, you have the Gospels, then you have History of the Church is a book of Acts, okay? Then after that, from Romans all the way to Jude is the Epistles, and the last one is Prophecy, okay? So Job was a contemporary of Abraham. Can you imagine from 6,000 years, Job has already said, I know there's a second coming. Although Job didn't know what he was talking about, God just inspired him, he wrote it down, he put it down, okay? So, but notice what he says in verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body. We know decomposition, right, of the body. Yet, in my flesh shall I see God. What is he talking about? In my body, I will see God. Okay? Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eye shall behold, not another, though my reins be consumed within me. The reins refers to your bodily thing, and the organs and all that, things within the body. Although our body will be consumed, Job says, my eyes, my own physical eyes will see God. What's he talking about? The resurrection of the physical body. Okay, the resurrection of the physical body. Any questions? All right, this one passage you can use. Let's look at. So the first point is taught in the Old Testament in word. Okay, W-O-R-D, in word. Okay, in other words, the Old Testament is stated clearly that there will be a resurrection from the dead by the teaching of the word. In Daniel chapter 12 as well, maybe I'll get Brother Jacob, if you can turn there, Daniel chapter 12. In Timothy Toriano, you can turn to Isaiah 26:19. We'll all turn to Genesis 22 verse 5, okay? Daniel chapter 12 verse 1 to 3, can you read that? Daniel chapter 12.
Daniel 12 verse 3. And at that time, Michael said, the great things is that which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. At that time that thy people shall be delivered, everyone shall be found within the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to show an everlasting content. And they that be wise shall shine the brightness of the sun, and they that turn many to righteousness and to stars forever and ever.
Okay, for those who want to actually just not die inside the Bible, Daniel chapter 12 verse 1 actually talks about the 7 years of tribulation. Okay? But then in verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. God teaches in the Bible there will be a resurrection. Okay? So in word, God already teaches that. Then the next one, let's turn to Genesis 22 verse 5. Okay, before Isaiah 26. Genesis 22 verse 5. You will realize that Genesis 22 talks about Isaac being sacrificed. Okay? And so in verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So when Abraham brought Isaac to kill, and then he said, okay guys, you stay here, me and the child will go, and then we will come back again. You know what he's saying? What did God tell Abraham to do? Go and sacrifice your son. Think about that. Go and sacrifice your son. What did Abraham tell the boys that were there? Okay, guys, you wait here. Me and the son will go, and then we will come back to you. That's significant because why? Abraham knew that, yes, I'm going to kill my son, but God's going to raise him back from the dead. That's spoken of in Romans chapter 4. No, Abraham had faith. No, what was he talking about? He was talking about a resurrection. Okay, look at Hebrews 11:19. Correlating to that, Hebrews 11:19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. The word figure, which is the second point, okay? The resurrection is taught in word. Secondly, it's taught in figure. The word figure means a parable, a comparison. In the Old Testament, Isaac is used as a comparison. And in the New Testament, Old Testament is Isaac, is the comparison to the New Testament. The resurrection from the dead is taught by comparison. Okay? So Isaac didn't die. He wasn't killed. Okay? But God is actually saying in the New Testament that in that particular story, God was using a comparison that Isaac will come back from the dead. Okay? Any questions? Isaiah 26 verse 19. Oh, this is wonderful. Tim? Okay, in Isaiah 26 verse 19, the resurrection of the dead is taught in prophecy. In prophecy. I'll read it again because it's very, very, when I was reading it and studying it, it was really exciting because the Bible actually says, thy dead man shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. In other words, you guys have dead. For thy dew is as of the herbs, earth of the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. The earth shall cast out the dead. What has it to do? It has to do with the resurrection. Okay, it has to do with the resurrection. That's in prophecy. Okay, and then in 1 Kings 17, 2 Kings 4:32, the resurrection is taught in reality. In other words, it actually happened in the Old Testament. It actually happened in the Old Testament. Okay, in 1 Kings 17, we talk about Elijah raising the Shunammite woman's dead son. Remember? Okay, then after in 2 Kings 4, Elisha and the 2 Kings is the Shunammite son. In 1 Kings, it's the widow at Zarephath. The son died, remember? And Elijah actually raised him from the dead. Alright? And so, then in 13:20, it talks about there was a boy who was dead, I believe. And then after that, Elijah was already dead. And yet, they put a child over Elijah's bones and the guy rose from the dead. So, which means that in the Old Testament, the resurrection from the dead was also given in reality. It was taught. Okay? Any questions there? Any questions? So, in the Old Testament, it's taught the resurrection of the dead. But in the New Testament, we'll just go to John chapter 5. Okay? It's taught in word again. It's taught in the Bible. Jesus taught it specifically in John chapter 5, verse 28 to 20. It's very important that we understand this. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 28. Okay? Let me read that. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in that day in the which all that in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. This is a parallel passage to which passage just now we read? Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. This is exactly the same, different words, but exactly the same principle that Daniel mentioned in Daniel chapter 12, and what Jesus is saying. Okay, so it's taught in the Old Testament, it's taught in the New Testament as well. And of course, let's turn to Matthew 27. In the New Testament, it showed forth in reality. Okay? I'll just give you some background first before we go into the nature of the resurrection. Matthew 27, this is one of the, I don't know about you, this one of the, for me is a little bit intriguing, okay, amazing passages of the Bible, whereby after Jesus Christ died, apparently some of the graves did open. Those people who were dead started walking around. That's what the Bible says. Okay, Matthew 27, verse 52. Okay, after Jesus died in verse 50, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. In other words, he died. Look at verse 52. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Well, that's scary. I don't know about you. Can you imagine? Say, wait, how come this prophet, this old believer came and walking? Hi, how are you? I don't know whether he said that or not. But you know what? The Bible actually teaches that after Jesus died, as if to show forth a picture of the resurrection, there were some examples of people actually rising from the dead. That's what the Bible says. Okay? Any questions there? Going on, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ's own resurrection, Lazarus' resurrection from the dead, these are all pictures of the dead rising again physically from the dead. All right. In 1 Peter 1, verse 3, Jesus talked about the resurrection of the dead as well. It enlarged that hope, the hope of the resurrection, that one day we will all, those who die in Christ will be raised from the dead, and those who die without Christ, apparently, according to the Bible, will also be raised from the dead. Okay, and I just want to read through as you fill in there, and brought the doctrine of resurrection to the front. You know, before that, there was very little talk of the resurrection, but there were some people who were questioning, is there such a thing as a resurrection from the dead? Some people believe when you die, in China, that's what they believe. You know why? In China, life is cheap. Life is cheap, and so I die. Sentenced to death, it doesn't mean anything, because after that, I just disappear. That's what they believe. I just disappear because they are atheistic. They don't believe in God. So I just live. My life is now. I do what I want. And so when I die, that's why I'm not too sure. I need to check this out. But apparently, last time, China has so many people, right? And so you know how they clear minefield. You know it's a minefield? You know it's a minefield? Yeah, for mine. You know how they clear minefield? Just soldiers line up and just walk across. Okay, I'm not too sure if that's the way. But you know what? Many of the, in China, life is cheap. because they don't believe in a thereafter. They don't believe in life after death. One of the things our missionary tell me when he went there, he always, he always bring them to realize that there is a life after death. And when they realize that, they immediately receive Christ. Okay? And one of the things right now, China is very disillusioned with the atheistic government, and many of them are flocking and turning to Christ. Alright? And our missionaries are there, so you need to pray for them. But there will be a resurrection. Okay? Now, point number two, any questions? Okay, point number two, we'll talk about the nature of the resurrection. And there are some points. Number one, a literal resurrection of the bodies of all men. Every single one who die, whether you are cremated, whether you are buried, whether you die in a crash, whether you are drowned in the sea, there will be a universal resurrection of everyone. Okay? And in John chapter 5, this is what Jesus taught. I read again. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Okay? Jesus made it clear, don't be surprised, one day every single one in the grave will hear his voice. That's what Jesus said. So which means that there will be a resurrection of all. If you look at John chapter 5 verse 29, let me turn back there again. Jesus actually mentioned two categories of people. Okay? And he says one is, and shall come for they that they have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. In other words, everyone will arise from the dead, but there will be two outcomes of this resurrection. We'll talk about that later. Okay? Any questions up to there? Feel free. I'm just going to teach you from the Bible about the resurrection so it'll be clear in your mind. Okay? Now, Jesus is talking about physical resurrection. Look at Revelation 20 and verse 12. Maybe 20 verse 12. Okay, in Revelation 20 verse 12, the Bible actually talks about a resurrection. Okay, verse 12. Eh? The Bible says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. I saw the dead. John the Apostle said, I saw those people who have died. Small and great refers to those people of low socioeconomic status, those who are very poor, to kings, to dictators. Probably Hitler will be there, Mussolini will be there, Marcos will be there if he has never trusted Christ. Our leaders who have never trusted Christ will be there, those who are great. Okay, we need to pray for Mr. Mentor too. He needs Christ in his life. Okay? You know what? He may be a great man in this world, but before God, who is greater? He will be there if he's never trusted Christ. Okay? And so the Bible says here, he saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Okay? There will be a resurrection of the dead. Look at further down in verse number 12, 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. In other words, everyone that had some dead in them, everyone had to give it up so that God can judge them. Alright? So there will be a resurrection of the dead. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. The Bible says, for we must all stand, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, referring to Christians, may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. In order for judgment to take place, every single one must be physically raised from the dead to appear before the judgment bar of God. If you're a Christian, you will be at where? Which judgment? Which judgment will you be at? Okay, the teens. If you're a Christian, teenagers, 18 years and below, which judgment will you be at? There will be two judgments, the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. So which judgment will you be at, teenager Christians? If you're a Christian, which judgment will you be at? Wait. You're over teen. Okay, sorry. Couldn't come. All the teens are here. Which judgment will you be at? I'm sorry, in Sunday Bible hour, I want to ensure people learn. So which judgment will you be at? Don't be shy. Which judgment? Great White Throne judgment? Or the judgment seat of Christ? One or two, just say one or two. Two. Okay, the judgment seat of Christ, alright? As Christians, we will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, okay? The judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment for sin, a judgment where we receive the rewards from the Lord, okay? The sinners and those people who will be judged forever in the lake of fire will be at the great white throne, where God, remember the books were open? You know what? At that time, it will be a sentencing judgment. They're already condemned. Alright? We'll talk about that later. Alright? So, in order for judgment to take place, the people need to be raised from the dead. Okay, I read that. An objection is sometimes made to the effect that we tend to literalize, meaning, no. The Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, don't believe that there is a physical resurrection. They believe that when Jesus rose from the dead, it was spiritual. In other words, when he died on the cross, he fainted. Okay? So, the Bible is very clear about the resurrection of the body. What the exact phrase, resurrection of the body, does not occur in the Bible, yet these scriptures clearly teach physical rather than spiritual resurrection. Okay? Any questions on that? As a Christian, we need to understand, because I can tell you, you will go through many beliefs. Many people will tell you, no, when you're dead, everything is over. Okay? Kwe, sera, whatever will be. The future not us to see. Once you're gone, you're gone. Okay? That's not true. And some people believe that when you die, you scatter your ashes to the waters and everything will be gone. No, that's not true. God says that He will bring back. Some people ask the question, Brother Johnny, if people die, they burn. You know, in Chinese culture, they just want to burn and scatter the ashes to the water and don't want to be a trouble to anyone. One day, God has the power to bring back all the ashes so that in physical form, we will have to stand before God. All right? Okay. Any questions? There will be a resurrection of all men, okay? Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. Number two, under the nature of the resurrection, for us as Christians, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. God not only saved our soul and spirit, He also saved our body. Did you know that? This body literally belongs to God. I say again, this body literally belongs to God. And therefore, in Romans chapter 8, let me just go through that passage, okay? Please stop me if you... I'm not too sure of anything. I don't know whether this is the first time you're hearing this, okay? But you remember when Jesus died for us, He didn't die for us just for our soul. He died for our body, soul, and spirit to redeem the whole man. Jesus died to redeem the whole man. Okay? In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, but if the spirit of Him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, raising up Jesus from the dead, physical resurrection, right? He that raised up Christ from the dead, physical resurrection again, shall also quicken your physical bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Make alive your physical body. Okay? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Now, what is Paul saying? When Jesus Christ was rose from the dead, He had a glorified body. The disciples could see Jesus physically. Yes? Okay? He could see Jesus. So in the same way, the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead will also strengthen our physical bodies to do the right thing. Okay? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. Our goal is not to live in the flesh, but to live after the Spirit. Okay? By following what God says. Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. If ye through the flesh do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, this is a very important teaching. Many people will say this, Brother Johnny, you know, that's me. I cannot overcome some of the habits of life. You know, it's so entrenched already. God says, when I save you, I didn't just save your spirit and soul. I save your body so that after I've saved your body, the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, that's the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is actually inside of you to strengthen your, not strengthen your flesh, strengthen your spirit to overcome your flesh to do the right thing. Does that make sense? There are many people who say, no, I cannot do that, I cannot do that. You know why? Because we choose to live in the flesh. There's a choice of living in the flesh. That's why we can't do the things that we want to do. There's a very, very important teaching in the Bible because many Christians are under bondage to the flesh and think they cannot get out of it. But God says, no, you can. You can get out of it because why? The power of the Holy Spirit who saved us can energize us as we submit to Him to overcome the flesh. So our body don't have to live in the flesh anymore. Does that make sense? Any questions there? That's a very... Any questions? Or is it very confusing? Okay, who understands? Put out your hand. Not many people understand. Let me share. I want you to learn, okay? Because this is very important. Christians, we need victory over the flesh because many Christians live in defeat. But you know, in the resurrection of the body, I want you to know Jesus didn't just save our soul, He saved our body as well. He doesn't want our body to continue sinning. Let's turn to Galatians, all right, which is not there. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Okay? Remember the body refers to the flesh. Okay, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Follow after the Holy Spirit of God, then you will not do the deeds of the flesh, your body. But look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You know, for many years, I kind of just read this, until one time, many years ago, the word cannot hit me. You must understand, the Holy Spirit and the flesh fights against one another all the time. They are not going to be friends. Okay? The Spirit of God is not going to be friends with the sinful flesh. Because God is holy, the flesh is sinful. They just don't want to get together. Okay? So, the more we walk after the Spirit of God, the flesh gets weaker. But the more, listen, we walk after the flesh actually gets stronger. And the Bible says so strong to the point that when you actually want to serve God and do the right thing, you cannot. You cannot. Does that make sense? Like for example, last week I gave the illustration of Ethan. I just use it when I held this, right? He's supposed to pull it out, right? You know why he cannot? Because the flesh is stronger than him. Try as he would, he cannot do it. He has a desire to, he was obeying the instruction, pull, right? Get it out. But he cannot do it. Why? The flesh is stronger than him. Alright, this is a different context, okay? Does that make sense? Which explains why some Christians cannot do right. You know why? And they try as they would, they cannot. You know why? They keep going back to the old ways. You know why? They have been living constantly in the flesh. But I'm telling you today, Jesus Christ not only saved your spirit, He saved your body as well. That when the Holy Spirit of God takes control, He wants to overcome the deeds of the flesh. Okay? It could be pride, it could be selfishness, it could be whatever, unlovingness, or whatever. God can help us to overcome that. Okay? Because He has not only redeemed the spirit, He also wants to take over the body because it belongs to Him. Let's turn back to Romans again, chapter 8. Any questions? Stop me, alright? Don't understand this part of your hand. Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. Sorry, 28. 23, correct. Verse 23. Let's read together, okay? Romans 8, 23. The Bible says that we've got really one, two, go. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Jesus redeemed our soul, right? You know what the Bible says? Paul says, why am I still trapped in this body of flesh? I want to do the right thing, but you know what? The flesh always stops me. And Paul is saying, I'm looking forward to the day that even my body will be released from the bondage of sin. Does that make sense? Because we still have the sinful nature. All right? So, Jesus didn't just redeem our spirit and soul. He redeemed our body as well. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Okay, this is a wonderful passage. And I think... That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, Paul made it in no uncertain terms, very clearly. Because the Corinthian church, after they became Christians, were still involved in immorality, and they think it is okay. Sometimes for us, before we were a Christian, we did certain things. After we were Christians, we continue to do the thing thinking it's okay. Does that make sense? It may not be immorality, it may be other things. And that's what the Corinthian church were at. But they had this immorality problem and they felt it was okay. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 in verse 19, what? Know ye not then? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have your of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Your body belongs to God. Your body belongs to God. That's why we are not to do with our bodies what we think we want to do. And Paul says, look, I'm not going to allow you, because your body is a temple of God. Remember, in the Old Testament, the Jews had a temple to worship in, the temple of Jerusalem. In the New Testament, where is God's temple? Each one of us. And God says, don't you dare defile that. Paul says, don't you dare defile that, because if you defile that, I will destroy you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Alright? So, Christians, young ladies, your bodies belong to God. And young men, keep it fit for Christ. Keep it pure to serve Him. Okay? Because your body belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved you. There will be a resurrection of the body. That's very clear from the scriptures. Any questions? The redemption of our body. Okay? Let's move on. Point number 3 under the nature of the resurrection. What will be the body? What will be the type of body that we will have? Okay? I want to make some... Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. I was studying that again. I did mention that I will recognize you as you are. But as a script, we are subject to the scriptures. As I was studying it again, the Lord taught me something else, all right? Just in the scriptures, you probably can see it for yourself. Verse 35. Apparently, the people at the Corinthian church actually asked, what kind of body do we have? Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. We're going to talk about the nature of the resurrection body. What kind of body will we have? Some people believe that we will be just like we are. And I believe that we can, because it says the apostles actually recognized Jesus after He rose from the dead. Okay, so probably there's something like that. But look at verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? This is exactly what we ask, right? Sometimes, what will we be like after we are raised from the dead as a Christian? What did Paul say? Thou fool, I hope Paul doesn't call us that. We're just asking a simple question. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not made alive, is not quickened, except it die. Okay? Paul is referring to the seed. The seed. You know, there's life within the seed. And in order for the fruit to grow, the seed has to die first. Right? Okay, that's in simple biology. Okay, the seed has to die. 1 Corinthians 15. For those who just came in, then in verse 37, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, that it may chance of wheat. That means that when we plant the seed, but the seed and the outcome is two different things in terms of its physical appearance, right? You plant a small seed, you get a giant oak tree. That's what Paul is referring to. Okay? After this, I will bring up the lesson. Also another grain. In verse 38. But God giveth it a body as He had pleased Him. To every seed His own body. Now, what is Paul talking about here? There will be an identity. The seed... An apple seed will lead to an apple tree. Okay? An orange seed. Right? Orange, apple, and they grow from seeds, right? Just in case. I clarify. Okay? People are very learned nowadays. So from orange seed, you become an orange tree. But they're different in form, physical appearance. But the identity is preserved. In other words, if I die, the identity of Johnny will be preserved. But in the next life, before God, what kind of body? God want me one be bigger, smaller? God may make me a tree or whatever. I don't think you'll make it a tree because you need to interact with me. But he may give me a totally different, I may look like, I don't know. Okay? But you know what? We certainly will recognize one another. Coming from the example of Jesus' body after he rose from the dead, we probably will probably retain our form. The problem is, what about babies who die? What about elderly? Cannot be that. All through eternity, I will be like that. Right? I don't know. But God says that the seed is sown, whatever comes out will be different. But the identity of that person will be preserved. Okay, does that make sense? Okay? Right? We do not have to speculate because we don't know, but I dare say that it will probably be almost the same because of the parallels. For example, when Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples recognized him. At the mountain of transfiguration, the disciples were able to recognize who? Moses and Elijah. They were in some form of body, and they could actually recognize them. Elijah didn't die, he went to heaven straight, but Moses did. Okay? So, the nature of our body. So, four things, it's written down there, four things that we can say of the resurrection. Number one, it may not necessarily be identical with that which descended into the grave. For example, maybe the elderly, the children who are buried. Okay, God may give them a totally new body, I don't know. But the identity of that person will be preserved, number one. Number two, it will have some organic connection with that which descended into the grave. That talks about the same person, okay? Number three, it will be a body that God in his sovereignty will give. And number four, it will be a body which will be vast improvement over the old one, amen? Okay, big improvement, okay? So I think some of you may watch about a home improvement whereby this really room change into something very, very nice. Okay, I can tell you it's much better than that. Amen. It's going to be a much, much better place. Are there any questions? Now, for the believer, what kind of body will we have? Okay, let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Philippians 3:21. So, still concluding, what kind of body of the believer? As a Christian, what kind of physical body will we have? Okay, let's read this together, okay? Then after we'll turn back to 1 Corinthians 15 again. Ready? Philippians 3:21, ready? 1, 2, go. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things under himself. Christ is going to come, he's going to change our vile bodies. This body that is humiliating, that is corruptible, you're going to change it and fashion. The word fashion has to do with art and craft. You're going to mold it and make it like unto his glorious body. Okay? So let's turn back to a few verses first. Maybe we'll get Brother June, if you can turn to Luke. Let's all turn to Luke 24 because there are some things there. What was the nature and likeness of Christ's resurrection? So we're doing the parallel again. Because the Bible says that it will be fashioned like to his glorious body. So in Luke 24, what kind of body will it be? What is the nature and likeness of Christ's resurrection body, which our resurrection body is to resemble? Okay, Luke 24, verse 39, Jesus actually says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." This is a clear verse that will erase the idea of the JW about spiritual resurrection. Oh no, there won't be any physical resurrection, it's just a spiritual. No. The Bible says, Jesus said, "Feel me," okay? It will be a real body. Okay, you want to fill in the blanks. It will be a real body. Physical, real body. That's why we believe in the physical resurrection of Christ, because the Bible teaches it very clearly. Jesus said, "Touch my hands. Handle me." Okay? To the point that even in John 20, Jesus invited, put your fingers in my side. Remember, he told Thomas, put your fingers in my side. Okay, and feel me. Interestingly, Jesus had the new prints in his hands after his burial. The new prints are still in his hands. Think about that, John chapter 20. Remember? Remember Thomas said, "Except I put my finger in his hand and put my hands at the side, I will not believe." You know what Jesus says? "Come, feel me. Put your hands inside." You know what? Do you realize our Lord Jesus Christ will have the nail prints in his hands for all eternity? You know why? To remind us of what he did for us. Think about that. for all eternity, we will see. When we go to heaven, maybe, Lord, can I see your hand? You know, nail prints will be here to remind us of His love for us at the cross. That's why I believe in heaven, we will never even want to think like Satan. We won't be able to, but it will not even cross our mind because of the great love of Christ. It will be a real body. Luke 24, 39. Number 2, Luke 24, 31. And their eyes open, were open, and they knew Him. Okay, it will be a recognizable body. It will be recognizable. Okay, when Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples could actually recognize the Lord Jesus. Let's turn to John chapter 20, verse 19. It will be a powerful body. John chapter, that was the Lord Jesus Christ's body. Okay, John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, stood in the midst. How did Jesus come into the house when it was closed? How did Jesus come into the house when it was closed? It's like, wow! Where did this guy come from? You know? Okay? Our body will be a powerful body. It will be a glorified body. It will be a resurrected body. A body that we cannot even imagine. Jesus, the Bible says, when everything was closed and they were assembled because they were afraid of the Jews, guess what? Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be unto you." It's like, wah! Where did He come from? Okay? Some people believe He can walk through walls. Alright? They believe He just appeared. You know, our body, think about it, will our body be like that? But that will be a, it will be a powerful body, okay? Let's summarize this. Okay, what are the sort of characteristics of the resurrection body? Okay, we know in Luke 24:39 that it's not flesh and blood, okay? It's a real body. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Sorry, 1 Corinthians 15. What are the characteristics of the resurrection body? Because Paul actually talks about it when he was discussing the resurrection with the people, because they asked what kind of body would they have. Look at verse 43. This is encouraging, and I hope it will be to you. In verse 43, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, 43, number 1, the body will be, it is sown in dishonor, is raised in glory. The word glory means dignity. It will be dignified. It will be a glorious body, okay? Number 2, it will be an incorruptible body. Because the Bible says here, verse 42, sorry, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Sorry, I missed my point. It is raised in incorruption. And the word incorruption means an unending existence, something that will not corrupt. Okay, you put a piece of meat here, what will happen after 2 or 3 days? It begins to corrupt, it begins to smell. You know what? The body that we have, if dead bodies after 2 or 3 days starts to smell like crazy, alright? But you know what the Bible says? This body will be incorruptible. It will have an unending existence. Cannot be corrupted anymore. Okay? You okay? Yeah. Okay? So there will be no decay, there will be no sickness, and there will be no pain, alright? Our body will be glorious, okay? An example of that will be the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus Christ was gloriously changed, okay? In verse 43, it is sown in weakness, it will be raised in power. What does that mean? The word power has to do with being capable of, have the means to do, being able to. You know, after a hard day's work, nowadays we what? Very tired, right? I want to sleep. I need to take a break kind of thing. You know what? Nothing of that in heaven. Our body will be powerful. Power as in, we'll no longer be weak. We'll no longer be tired. Now the phrase, the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak, will not exist in heaven. Amen. Okay, many times today we want to serve God, we want to do things. How many of you sometimes when you know you have to do household chores, you look at it and say, "Masa," because we're tired, because really must do. One of the things we hate most in the army, I don't know about you, but is after your exercise, you have to clean stores. And you clean every little equipment before you hand it back. Otherwise, the storeman is not going to take it back because it's dirty or whatever. And you know, you're tired after 2-3 days exercise, and then after you got to wash the mud off every single picket, wash everything, and then hand it dry, make sure it's dry before you put it in. And say, you look at it, masa, you know? But you know what? That day, we will not need that, okay? We have a powerful body. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body, you'll be raised a spiritual body. Yes, it's still a body, it's still a physical body, you'll be a spiritual body, okay? The word spiritual literally means regenerate, changed. And it means literally a supernatural. The physical, the supernatural. Okay? And in verse 47 to 49, it will be not of this earth, it will be a heavenly body. A body that we cannot even imagine. Alright, the body that we are going to have. Okay? Any questions? So that's the body of a believer. But what of a non-believer? What about those people who die without Christ? What kind of body will they have? The scriptures are strangely silent about it. But there's one reflection. Let's turn to Luke 16. Luke 16. What will the body of the non-believer be like after he dies? Luke 16. Luke 16 and verse number 22. Okay? I'll just read the passage and then you get a sense. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, in His grace and mercy, opens up hell for us to see what kind of people will be in there. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Some key things we can highlight there. Number one, in verse 23, number one, he lifted up his eyes. He can see. He has his physical vision. He could see. He could see. He can even remember Lazarus. He had his memory. And then he cried. He could talk. He could talk in anguish. Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented. He could feel pain. Remember, a glorified body doesn't feel pain. Amen. But this guy can feel pain, okay, within. And then in verse 25, once again, but Abraham's son, remember that thou in thy lifetime he had memory. You know what's interesting about this? Abraham told this rich young man, son, you remember in your lifetime. I tell you what, that's scary. Do you realize one thing? For us as believers, what God is going to do is going to wipe away all sorrow. When we go to heaven, the bad parts of your memory of this life will be forever gone. Because every time, you know, sometimes when we think about a bad thing, what happens? We cry. Or maybe, you know, something that happened, you see? Think about a bad thing, you cry. You know? But you know what? In heaven, when you have a glorified body, God erases all that part. Well, otherwise we cannot have heaven. Do you realize? We won't enjoy heaven if we can always, oh no, my loved ones, oh my friends, I didn't share. God says, I will wipe away all sorrow, and He will erase everything. But Abraham told this man, son, remember in thy lifetime. Can you imagine every guy in hell now? Remember the time that someone shared with him the gospel and he said no. People come to church and they say no. Can you imagine? Forever and ever they will say, why am I so silly? Why am I so, you know, they'll curse themselves, but they can't do anything about it anymore. I can tell you, the pain of hell is not as terrible as a scourge of the conscience and the memory. Okay? And I think you understand what I mean. And then in verse 26, of course, talking about the great gulf fixed. And there's one thing that's very interesting, because in verse 27, 28, 29, this rich man became evangelistic. He says, if this is my eternal address, if there's a great gulf fixed, I cannot go out. Verse 27, he told Abraham, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them. Please go and tell them about this. This place, in verse 29, Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Listen to, let them listen to the Bible. Huh? Genesis, Moses, Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and it was counted him for righteousness. The gospel was there. Jesus was manifested in the Old Testament as well. He said, go and listen. You know what he said? No, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. By verse 31, Abraham had to tell you, if they will not hear the Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one rose from the dead. You know what that means? It means that if they will not hear God's word, they will not be persuaded even you come back from the dead. You know what? Unbelief. But you know it's interesting? This rich man in hell held on to his unbelief. No, Father Abraham, that's not going to work. You just tell them the Bible, that's not going to work. You got to show them something else. You know what? Here he held on to this. You know why in hell you cannot change anything, even your own thinking. In other words, those people, in Hitler in hell, he may be suffering, but he's still, oh, the Jews are cursed. Why? And the scourge of the conscience will be upon him, but there will be no way of changing himself. Remember, we can change because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The regenerate nature. But in hell, the scriptures, although it's silent, I believe this, men on earth, when they die, when they go to hell, they will remain the same way forever. Forever and ever and ever. The scourge of their conscience will be upon them and they will hold on to their existing belief. Can you imagine every drunkard who wants a drink? Their pet appetites are still there. Their appetites are still there. Drunk addicts are there. But they will never be able to fulfill their pleasures anymore. Forever and ever and ever. That is the condition of these people in hell. Body. Any questions? Alright. Just very quickly, what will be the time of the resurrection? Or just the resurrection of the righteous? Let's turn to Daniel, okay? Let's turn to Daniel chapter 12. I'll just touch on that and then we'll probably have to finish this. But Daniel chapter 12 or two, and another passage. When will the resurrection be? Daniel chapter 12. And this is interesting, which Daniel chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. It talks about the resurrection. Some to everlasting life. And it's interesting, if you study the Greek word, the Hebrew word some, it actually has relationship to a timing. Those people that will awake to everlasting life, there will be a time. And then the second psalm actually refers to those who did not awake at the first psalm, referring to a different time, will be awakened to shame and everlasting contempt. You need to do a study of that word, all right? But it does involve a timing. So psalm refers to an initial resurrection, but then another psalm refers to another resurrection. How do we know that's true? Scripture interprets scripture. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20, where we know that there are two resurrections. Okay, there are two resurrections clearly taught in the Bible. Okay, Revelation chapter 20. And verse 5. Let me just read verse 4 up to verse 6, then you can see the whole picture. John says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. These are the tribulation saints. The word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. There's one, the first resurrection. Okay? And God actually says, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. Remember Daniel said, first some to everlasting life, and then some, those that didn't raise the first time to everlasting life, the second time will be raised to everlasting contempt. Okay? So John is saying, blessed and holy are they that had part in the first resurrection. Guess what? All of us will be involved in the first resurrection. Amen? Because, let me after this up. Because I want you all to actually know the because. Okay? On such a second death had no power. And they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Okay? So the first resurrection will be the saints, will be raised from the dead. But you know where's the second resurrection? In verse number 12, Revelation 20. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That's the second resurrection. Verse 13, and sea gave up the dead which were in it. Everyone who have died without Christ will be involved in the second resurrection. But that resurrection will be the resurrection of eternal damnation, whereby God sentences them to an eternity in hell. You know why we are so out about sharing the gospel with people? Yeah, we need to do our duties, but there's a ministry of reaching out. You know why? There will be one day that many people will be in the second resurrection of the body. You know, some people will say, God is God of love. He's not going to send us to hell forever. And some people in hell after that say, okay, angels will... Can you imagine they've been in hell for maybe a few thousand years? And then after that, the angel can, okay, guys, time to come up. time to meet your maker. See, God is God of love. He's going to weigh our... You know what? This will be the time that everyone will go out only to find that they will be judged for their works. And then they will be consigned. For example, I believe very much that God will have, even in this judgment, mercy for those people who haven't heard the gospel. They will still be in hell, but God's not. They won't be scourged by their memory. Does it make sense? But for those who sit in church every week for a long time and do not trust Christ, or had the opportunity to share, the gospel be shared in very clear terms. People had loved and told them clearly. And God says, you had a chance. I gave you that chance. And I believe that all the, maybe the more than 50,000 tracts that we have given out over the last 30,000 over the last 8 years, overall, every single household that had a tract and people have opened it and read it and put it aside, God will remember the church gave you that message. We need to continuously be the light. Continuously be the light. These are people who will be sentenced forever in hell. Okay? But any questions? Any questions? It is the resurrection of the body. Just three reflection questions. Number one, there will be a resurrection of the body. Now, we know our spirit, when we die, we go straight to heaven. But our body also belongs to God. There will be a resurrection of the body. Number two, let us be sure that we are the first resurrection. Okay? Question for all of us. How, it is very important. I was thinking through this, I need to ask this question. The Bible says that blessed and holy are they that have part in the first resurrection. Question for everyone here, I want you to spend 1 minute, think to yourself, how can I be sure that I'm at the first resurrection? Can you in your mind right now tell yourself, I know I'll be at first resurrection because what? Okay, just half a minute, then I'll get people to share. Because I'm thinking that some people will be in church for a long time, but they don't even know how to be at the first resurrection. Okay? Any questions? Just think to yourself in your mind. You can write it down if you want. How do I know I'll be at the first resurrection? Okay? Just think for 20 seconds more. Okay, how do you know you'll be at the first resurrection? Anyone can share now. I want it to be clear. If some of you say, Brother Johnny, I really don't know. It may not be you're not saved, but it may be you're ignorant of the Bible facts. But it could also mean you're not too sure how to be in the first resurrection, in our salvation. You know, as a pastor, continuously every week of my life, I do not assume salvation. I need to know. I need you to know yourself. Because you are saved by your faith in Christ, not by my faith in Christ, okay? So how do you know you'll be at the first resurrection? Anyone, maybe from this side? How do you know that you'll be at the first resurrection? You have trusted Christ. Okay, anyone else? Let's turn to John 5:24. Okay? Just for those people who may not be very sure, John 5:24. I use it all the time. It's such a clear passage, but John 5:24. How to be sure you are at the first resurrection? John 5:24, the very same passage where Jesus talked about the resurrection. Verse 24. Let's read together. Chapter 5, verse 24. Ready? 1, 2, go. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me had everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, and is passed from death unto life. Clear as clear. Okay? You heard God's word, you trusted him. God says you have everlasting life, and you will not come into condemnation, which will be in the second resurrection. But you have passed from death to life. Okay? Third question for us. How many people we know will be at the second resurrection? Oh, Christians, don't give up. In the message after, I'll be sharing one thing about how God is faithful about saving souls. But you know, we need to be praying, doing. Yeah, our family might be saved, but what about others? What about our neighbors? We need to tell them the gospel too. Okay, any questions? Next week, we'll talk about the judgments itself. Okay, any questions? Yes.
The second part is the resurrection of those who are being raised to judgment. How about the saints who die in the tribulation? When will they be raised up?
In Revelation 20, because in verse 20, verse 4. The Bible says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Christ, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. Those are tribulation saints. Okay? Neither had received his mark upon their foreheads and in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Does that make sense? So it's clear from here that it may not be clearly said that they rose, but based on the passage, we know that these are the people who were in the tribulation saints. They were killed because they didn't want to receive the mark, tribulation saints. But the Bible says they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So which means they were raised from the dead. Okay? That's what we call inductive. Alright? Okay? Any questions? That's a good question, but sometimes you just have to make it clear. Okay? Any questions? We have a little prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. And I pray that every one of us will, Lord, learn and be equipped, Lord, from your word. That we might be vigilant. God, I pray for our youth. God, I pray you protect them. And God, they will see deep down in their hearts, they need to trust Christ. They need to put their lives in the hand of the Master and be a disciple of Christ. And not just to follow the trends of this world. Lord, the world will take us away from you. Only the Holy Spirit will drive us to you. Father, I pray that you protect our youth. Lord, I pray you protect our children. Help us not to be paranoid, but to be vigilant and to be loving and compassionate and to be caring enough, Lord, to lead in the right way. God, this world is headed down the wrong way. We know the Bible says, 1 John, the very last verse, the whole world lies in wickedness. But God, we still love the people in the world. Help us not to be sucked in, Lord, by the fashions and the trend and the so-called coolness of this world, that in reality is in direct defiance against the very principles that we as Christians stand for in the Bible. So God, I pray you protect us in ambassador. And I pray the next generation of leaders that will go out will have the same zeal, Father, to protect the young ones, to help them to grow to be strong disciples of Christ with strong strength in their spirit. And our ladies will grow pure and will love you with all their hearts, will have a picture of holy godliness, and that, Father, this world will be infected one at a time with the gospel of Christ, that many will come, and many will be raised at the first resurrection because of the testimony of some of our brethren here. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Strengthen us. Help us as a church to resolve to be pure in a perverse and unholy generation, Lord. Help us to be humble, to know that, God, we're not better than anyone. We're just sinners saved by grace. But yet, Father, you have given us thy power, the Holy Spirit, so that we can yield to the Spirit and deny the flesh and live for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Bless the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, we have about 10 minutes, so...